Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. My guest tonight is Johnny Meech, or John Meacham. That's what he goes by on IMDb. Should be dialing now.
Hello, this is John.
Hi, John. This is Mac.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Not too bad. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. That means we're on the air, so we can get started.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, were you going to say something else?
No, I was just saying okay.
All right. Now, first, as the daughter of a captain in the United States Army who was in World War II, I sincerely want to thank you for your service to this country, because I know that you had 3 combat deployments, and I really want to thank you for everything you've done for this country.
Thank you.
That said, because not everybody wants to talk about it, and I figured if you did, you would have started to talk. When did you realize that you wanted to get into filmmaking?
Well, I was actually on a stateside deployment, and I watched, when you're in the military, you end up watching a lot of movies when you have downtime. So I got to the point where I kind of ran out of movies, started watching the same movies over and over. So I kind of got it in my head. I was like, well, I wonder how hard it would be to kind of make your own movies. So I started researching on how to write a script, and basically I self-taught myself. I bought some books, went on YouTube, and just taught myself how to write, and I wrote one. And then it was supposed to be like just kind of a thing between me and my friends. I couldn't really find anybody that wanted to join me in this. So I ended up just paying some people. We got together, and we actually filmed it. And I had so much fun doing it. And ever since then, kind of been on a roller coaster going through through all the different movie sets that I've been able to be on.
Now, you've done a few different things, you know, acting and director and different things. Which of those is your favorite, if you have a favorite?
I can't say I really have a favorite. I would say the producing side of it is more of the direction I think I'm going to end up going in. I do like the acting part of it, but I've never really pictured myself as an actor in general. I would like to do some directing as well, but I think I need a little bit more experience myself. But yeah, producing is probably the side of it. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person, I think. So producing is probably the way that the main way I'm going to end up going.
Well, most of these movies that we're going to be talking about are all newer ones. And one of the ones that I wanted to ask about is not one of the ones that you mentioned. But I bring it up because I have, like, quite a few friends that were involved in this film. Xenophobia. Even if it was just a small little part, I want to hear you talk about it.
So, basically, I met some on the set of Clownado. I don't know if you've heard of Clownado.
Yes, that was going to be the next one I was going to ask you about.
Okay, so I got to go on the Clownado set. I had a very, very small role on that. And then when I went to the Clownado premiere in L.A., some of the people from the film, they basically said, hey, we're going over to Joe Castro's house to film this little quick scene. Would you like to come? And I was like, of course I do. So I ended up changing my flight to a whole different day just so I can make this. And I was able to go meet Joe Castro in person, which is a very awesome person. I love Joe Castro. I've got to meet him a couple times now. And we just filmed it in one night. It was just a small scene I was in. We filmed it in one night, and I just got to hang out at his house and just hang out with the other people from Clownado.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because quite a few of my friends were involved with that, and Joe is one of them. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there anything else that you wanted to say about Clownado?
Clownado was, the story I told you about when I was getting into the filmmaking in general, I kind of made a
mm-hmm.
joke post on Facebook saying, it was right after Sharknado came out. So I made a joke. I said I was going to make a new movie called Clownado. And nothing to it. I wasn't really. It was mainly just a joke. But like a year later, I saw that Clownado was actually a thing and somebody was going to make it. So obviously, I had to be involved in it. So I drove all the way from Tampa all the way to Kansas City. I got to meet Todd Sheets, another awesome director. And that was that. I just got to be a part of that for that was a 2-day shoot, my part.
Wow. Now, you were also in another clown film called Clown Fear, and I have a couple of friends in that film as well. So you were, I think, the co-executive producer. Tell us about that.
Yes, I didn't have a role in that. They just approached me, asked if I wanted to help produce that. So that was my only role in that. I wasn't able to make it to set, but it was just only the producing side of it.
So did you, since you say that that's what you want to do, the producing part, did that help you, like, get yourself acclimated to producing that film?
The part that I had in that, it was only kind of a financial part of it. I didn't have any direct, I didn't really have to do anything beyond that. So I wouldn't say I learned a lot producing side from that itself.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens. I mean, you know, money helps too. So
yeah.
There was another one that you did, and this one, I just like the name of it. That's why I picked it. Zombinatrix. That's still
so, yes.
You act.
Zombinatrix, I met, it was filmed, I'm in D.C. right now. I don't know if I mentioned that. And this was being filmed not too far from here. So I saw that, and I contacted them. And they basically said, hey, we have this small role if you want it. And I showed up, and that was just another one-day shoot. And it was that was a very fun experience. Being able to do it here while in D.C., because a lot of the stuff obviously is elsewhere. So that being able to do that while I'm here was a very fun experience.
Oh, good. I always like to hear about fun experiences that people have.
And if you want to hear a funny story about that, there was in one of the scenes, I get kind of messy, for lack of a better term, and I ended up leaving that set and driving all the way back to Post. I live on Post, so when I came through the gate, I was like covered in all this mess, and all the guards were looking at me like I was insane.
That's funny. Now, this other one that I picked, again, I like the name. Toilet Zombie Baby Strikes Back. That's another one that's filming. Now, it says...
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
Oh, so basically, I just saw that on Indiegogo, and like you, I like the name, so I just joined that for the name alone.
Hey,
there have been several films that I've seen that I joined just for the name alone because I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, whenever I've had funds to do that, I've done it myself, so I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you actually had anything to do with these Joel D. Weinkoop's films, but
so I met him. Yeah, I met him through some more of the Clownado people, and he,
mm-hmm.
I believe he lives somewhere not far from me in Florida, but Yeah, I was just able to. He contacted me on Facebook and was saying, he just basically said, "Hey, I'm making these movies. Would you like to help me out?" And that was that. I haven't been able to directly be on any of those or meet him in person, but from just talking to other people, he's a good guy and cool guy to get involved with.
Yeah, he is. And I think that the Craiglon incident, I think that's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be a hoot, if nothing else. And the Beast Mode will probably be pretty good, too. He makes good films, he and his wife, and they're always nice people. They're nice to everybody. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a film that, one of the ones that you were telling me about, A Burrowing Heart, that's in post-production. Now, that one, you were script supervisor and associate producer. So tell us about that one.
Yeah, so the story I told you, how I first started with that, my own little script. So the people I brought to help me out with that was actually one of the guys, the director for that, Daniel Bamberg. And probably like 6 months to a year after that, he said, "Hey, I'm doing this film over in Alabama. Would you like to join as a anything?" He pretty much said, "Just, I know you want to get involved in the filming. You want to come over and just pick something." And script supervisor came up, and then later on down the line, the associate producer came up. But that was another fun experience. All those guys that came to Florida to help me with mine, I ended up keeping in touch with pretty much all of them, and we've done several things since then. And it's in post-production right now. It's looking to be somewhere around 2021 before it comes out.
Yeah. And now, what's that about?
So basically, it's about, I don't know how to say it without giving
it away.
Yeah, it's basically something happens and somebody kind of goes underground to hide from the incident, and basically the psychological toll that sets in being away from everybody on his own for an extended period of time.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good enough. I mean, you don't want to give too much away. So now there's another one that I think you consider this probably your big introduction, because you had mentioned this one prominently. And it's also in post-production, and you acted in it. You were the director, producer, and the writer for Armageddon. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's the one that I first wrote that script for in the very beginning. We filmed it a couple years ago. The problem is, right after I finished filming it, I got called back to active duty. So there's some like reshoots that we have to do. And it's kind of hard being in DC to be able to do that in Florida. Plus the fact that this COVID thing happened. And also, since I made that, I've been on all these other sets and I've learned so much. So I'm already, I look at it like, man, I could have done this different and this different. So it'll be out eventually, but it's going to be a matter of time.
Yeah, and I don't think I really need a synopsis of that. I mean, the title says it all.
Yeah, it was more of a tongue-in-cheek type thing. Kind of making fun of just the situation that was going on with the whole gun debate and all this other stuff. And I think it's written down as a horror comedy, but it's way more comedy than it is horror.
Oh, that's okay, because I love those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Especially when they're really silly.
Yeah, the intent was to be quite silly, and as it went, ended up being super silly. I should have never acted in it, because this was my first time doing everything. So I produced, acted, and directed, which my first time on a set, it was kind of a lot. So, but I did learn a ton. So that it was a good experience. We joke with the director of photography, Bill Schweikert. I joke with him all the time saying that was my film school.
So it sounds like it was a good learning experience for you.
Oh yeah, basically it was all learning. It was luckily I got in contact with him to be able to shoot it, because he's an amazing director of photography. Which, if he's another person you should try to get on your show, because he's the smart things that come out of his mouth are incredible, and he was just a pleasure to work with, and we've been good friends ever since, and seen him several times. I just saw him. He came through DC probably 3 weeks ago, and I just saw him again.
Well, maybe you'll do another movie together.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Now there's another one that's now this one you may not be able to talk much about, because I know how it is when things are in pre-production. Lots of times you can barely say anything at all about them. But you're acting in a film called Lunar Loons. If you can tell us anything about it.
So Lunar Loons is a werewolf film. It was a script written by Ronnie Fordham. And you can actually, he has it on Kindle. It's like a short story on Kindle. I think it's Kindle. One of those websites you go and you can read the book. But he sent me that script probably a year and a half ago, and I absolutely loved it. So I actually optioned it from him. I paid him to let me shoot it. But since then, like I said, I came to DC, now the COVID thing, so it's kind of been put on hold. But it's a very, very cool a werewolf film that I'm really looking forward to when I can finally get around to making that.
Yeah, I like werewolf movies. There's another one, too. I mean, if you were done talking about that one, I don't want to presume anything.
Oh, yeah, there's not really much else to say about it. I'm kind of still looking for, like, a good, like, animatronic werewolf. I don't want to, like, cheap out on the werewolf. I want a very good, scary-looking
right.
werewolf. So I've been looking for that for probably a year now. I got some, the costumes are coming together, but I'm still looking for that scary werewolf, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. It's just a suggestion that you may have already thought of, but have you thought about asking Joe Castro for an idea? Because he's got so much going on right now, I don't think that he could do it for you, but he might have some ideas for you.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him directly about it, but I had somebody else talk to him, and he basically told me a cost and what it would cost to get a werewolf costume together, which is fine, but I haven't really gone too much into detail with him about it.
Yeah, because like we said earlier, he's a great guy, and I know he's always willing to help people as much as he can. Because
yeah.
He's already got so much stuff going on.
Yeah,
he's
on my Facebook, and he's always on a flight, it seems like, going somewhere around the country just filming all the time.
Right, and when he did my show, now don't take me wrong, I was happy to have him on the show, and I was honored and everything, but he only had time to do a half an hour. That's how busy he was.
Yeah.
And even at that, he had to, like, force that half an hour in there.
Yeah.
But there's you have another werewolf film that's also in pre-production, Hollywood Werewolf. Tell us about that if you can.
That one I obviously don't know much about. I met the director at the Clownado premiere, and
mm-hmm.
one of the other guys from Clownado, he was joining on to do a small scene, but I haven't heard anything about that since, so there's not really much I could say about that one.
Okay. I mean, that's not one of the ones that you had given me in that list, so I didn't think that you probably would. And
yeah.
This is also another one that wasn't on that list. But this is another one that I have several friends that are involved in this. Z Dead End, because you're going to act in it, and you're also associate producer. And I know that's in pre-production, too. But if you can say anything about it, now's your chance.
Yeah, I have a small role. I don't know what it is because that kind of got, I don't know, just when the COVID thing happened, it kind of screwed a lot of things up for me because I can't really leave D.C. So
right.
I don't know if that's going to fall through or maybe it's going to be a mobile acting. But, yeah, that's not much I can say.
Yeah. Yeah, like with the Craiglon incident, Joel D. Wynkoop's thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, like, 95% of that movie is, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so then next I would ask about, now this one was on your list, associate producer, and it's supposedly filming The Commandos. Tell us about whatever you can tell us about that one.
The Commandos actually being filmed right now as we speak over in New Mexico. The director is Asif Akbar. I never met him directly in person, but me and him have talked several times. I'm very looking for me. I was supposed to have a role, a small role on this one, but I wasn't able to leave DC, so I don't know what we're going to do about that. But that's being filmed right now. That's actually got Mickey Rourke and Michael J. White in it. Some other people, Donald Cerrone. Got a lot of good people in it, so I'm looking forward to seeing how this one turns out. And I think they have another week to go before filming complete.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. And the topic of it, it's about a commando. He gets PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. He ends up going back home, and then he has a run-in with a bad guy. And that exchange through there. Without giving too much away, but it's basically he centers around the commando with PTSD, runs into the bad guy.
Hmm. Okay, there's another one that was on your list, and you act in this one, and you're executive producer, and it's in pre-production as well. So whatever you can tell about The Macabre.
So The Macabre, I was approached by one of the producers, and basically said, hey, we got this insane movie that's going to be happening. Would you like to join us for the producing side of it? And I also have a small role. I can't really go too much into that because it's got some pretty big name people that I don't think they've announced yet. But that's another one I'm looking forward to. I don't know how much to go into on that.
Yeah, well, when they're in pre-production, I'm one of the ones that understands. I'm not in the film business myself, but I've got lots of family and friends in the film business, so I understand all that stuff. I'm not one
mm-hmm.
that needs it explained. There's another one called, you're executive producer. This one is filming. Stranded. Tell us whatever you can tell us about that one.
So Stranded is another werewolf movie. It is being filmed, not like at this moment, but they off and on filming type of situation. COVID kind of messed that up, I think, a little bit. And plus, the Sean Burkett is the director, and I believe I'm going to get a small role in that. But again, it depends on this whole COVID situation and me being able to leave DC. But yeah, it is being filmed on and off right now and I don't have a date to tell you on when that's going to be done.
Yeah, and with the coronavirus and everything, I understand all that too, that a lot of these films that probably would have been out already may not be out for another year or even 2 years.
Yep. Yeah. That's an unfortunate situation, but we got to keep everybody's safety in mind. So kind of
well,
at this
yeah.
point, it is what it is.
Yeah, I had a guest on the show, someone who's, you know, he's pretty famous, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, because you're famous in your own right, but he's been in so many films that it was even hard for me to, like, just pick some to talk about because he's got so many.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, COVID and the effect that it had on him, and he even said, you know, as much as he wants to work, because he's working a lot, but as much as he wants to work, if they don't go according to the guidelines, he won't work for them. He'll say no.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I misspoke. I have werewolf on my mind, but it's not a werewolf movie. It's actually about Bigfoot or a Bigfoot creature.
Stranded?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I like Bigfoot movies too. Not all of them, obviously, but I like the ones that are more, not quite as homey as Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Although I loved Harry and the Hendersons, I love that film. It was adorable. But I like ones that more along the lines of like Frankenstein. Type,
mm-hmm.
Not Frankenstein, but the Frankenstein type, where yes, they kill people, but only in self-defense. And then once
yeah.
they find out that most of us aren't against them, then they start becoming friendly with, you know, human beings. That's the kind of Bigfoot movies I like to see.
Yeah. And I'm actually kind of half working on another Bigfoot script. I haven't really made too much advance in it, but I got a pretty cool idea that's kind of on the same lines as that situation that you just spoke of.
Oh, cool. That'll be nice to see it when you do get around to writing it and doing whatever it is you got to do with it.
Yeah.
There's another film that is filming, your associate producer, called Survivor Girls. What can you tell us about that one?
Survivor Girls is the same crew that I spoke about with A Burrowing Heart. It's Daniel Bamberg is the director of that one as well. Again, that was shot in Alabama. I was actually able to drive down there whenever it was being shot. It was several months ago now. But I was able to drive down there just for one day, just to be on set, just see how things were going. It's so kind of a horror slasher comedy. Basically, all the actors in there, or actresses, I should say, are the... It's just like a female power horror comedy.
Well, that's good. Those are always good kinds. Some of the best horror movies are ones that have strong female leads, like, you know, Alien.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been the same if it would have had a male lead. It would be like, yeah, it's the same old thing. So there's another one that your executive producer, and I think you acted in it too, and that's filming as well, called Strix. So can you tell us anything about that?
Strix it was filmed in Texas. The director and writer is Abel Berry. I was supposed to have a pretty cool scene in it, but again, got kicked in the mouth with COVID, so it turned into a mobile filming. So it turned in, the scene I was going to be in was on set with everybody, but this one now is just by myself, and I'm ended up being one of the cult members. So it's about witches,
Well, hey, as long as you're in it, a job's a job, and get your face out there. And sometimes these little scenes, as I was talking about this with another guest, sometimes those little scenes are the ones you remember more than the big scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a cool part. When I did it, it was fun, but But I just like being on set, so it would have been a lot more fun to just to be able to be with them. That whole experience to me is a super amazing, super fun experience. So I kind of missed that. I was going to make it, but at the last minute, I just Army canceled on me, so I couldn't do it.
Aww. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, not really, except just move on, go to the next one, and you never know, like what that old saying says, that sometimes when one door closes, another one opens, and sometimes it's a better door.
Yeah.
Because I've had that happen in nursing. I'm a nurse, among other things, but I'm a nurse, and I had that happen at one place I worked at, that they were treating me like crap. And I kept telling them, I said, you know, I can go anywhere and get a job. Nurses are in high demand, so you keep treating me like this, and I'm going to leave. And they just thought that, you know, they could just keep doing that. And I left, and the greatest thing happened, because once I left and I went to another place, I was getting $5 an hour more than I got with them.
Nice.
So I made a point to go back over there, and I talked to the one that was giving me such a hard time, and I said, thank you for being such a, let's see, it's PG-13, so I think I can say it. Thank you for being such a dick, because I'm making $5 an hour more now at the new place I'm working at. And then pretty much said F you and left. So.
Yeah, that's what they say. One door opens and another door comes around. And I firmly believe that because I've had my own experiences like that.
Right, yeah. So there's this other film that I think you were co-producer, Crepitus. Can you tell us anything about that?
Crepitus was one of the first films, I guess I would say, that I was actually, I got involved with it. I saw somebody post and they basically said, hey, we need some finishing funds to get this completed. And that one was a super cool one. That's got Bill Moseley in it. And also another up and coming, I don't know her age, but very young actress that I'm pretty sure is going to do a big thing is her first name is Shillette. Chile, I don't even know how to say it, but another one, if you never had her on your show, she'd be a good person, because she's getting very involved in the film community. But like I said, I saw Bill Moseley was a part of it, and he's been, like, I don't want to say I'm a fanboy, but, like, all his movies I love, and just growing up, just knowing some of the films that he's been in. And when I saw that advertised, I was like, yeah, I have to get involved with that. And that one, I'm pretty sure you can get that on Amazon Prime. Or it may not be Prime, I don't remember, but it is on Amazon right now.
Oh, cool.
And as far as the, it's about a Bill Moseley is a killer clown type of character. Like an evil in the basement type. Yeah, and I got to that. The premiere for that was in LA, and actually got to go there and meet him, which was super cool experience. Because coming from not being involved with the film community at all, and then being able to meet one of my all-time favorites in a matter of less than a year was pretty good accomplishment for myself. And kind of motivated me to just keep pushing on and figure out my role in this whole film community.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, there's another one that was on the list you gave me that's completed. You were co-executive producer, and you also acted in it. Ace and the Christmas Miracle. Now, that sounds like a kid's movie. So tell us about that.
So it's I don't want to say it's a kid's movie, but it is a family comedy. It's about, basically, it's a it's about a gambler, really. And it's got, what's her name? Brandi Roderick in it. That was filmed by the same person that's filming The Commando, Asif. It is complete. We're just waiting on the final final word on what's next on that one. So hopefully by this Christmas, that'll be another one that we could all see. And it's also got John Lovitz in it. It's not really my... I don't want to say this, it's probably going to sound wrong. It's not really my scene. Like, I'm more of the horror action type. So this is more of a family film. But just knowing Asif, and it just sounded like a fun situation. And it's just one of the things I had to get involved with.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with going out a little outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, this was probably the first film that wasn't horror or action that I ever got involved with. So I'm looking forward to it coming out. It's probably the first one that I could tell my mom to go watch without being worried about what she might see.
I don't think all of those films are going to be that bad.
No, but my mom's not the bloody gore type of person.
Now, see me, I love blood and gore. I mean,
yeah.
If that's all there is, no, I don't like that, because it's like with anything else. If all you have is naked women in your movie and nothing else, no story, then you don't have a good movie. You might as well just make a porn film and get it over with. But if you have some naked women and you've got a good story and some good special effects and stuff, well, then I could do without the naked women. What I say is, if you're going to have the nudity, have it be fair. Have men and women naked.
Yeah, and that's interesting you say that, getting involved with this. I've had several people now send me scripts, and some of the first things they say are like, oh, this is going to be awesome. It's got this girl and this girl. And then you read the script, you're like, yeah, but the story's horrible. Like, what? You're just going to have the girl in there and you think that's going to be it? And you're going to have a hit? Like, I don't know what you're thinking with this story.
That's the problem with a lot of them is they think that if they get a naked or half-naked woman in there, that their film is just going to go through the roof. Well, no, doesn't happen that way. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it might happen, but I doubt it.
Chances are not great.
Yeah. The chances are very low for that if you don't have a good story to go with it. Because now I've seen some that had some really questionable, you know, sexual type scenes in it that I actually loved the film because they made sense in the movie. That's what I don't like, is when they have that gratuitous stuff that has nothing to do with what's going on in the movie. They just all of a sudden they poof, go at it for no reason whatsoever. Now, if it has something to do with the film, then it makes sense. Like, I saw one that had somebody who was having sex with a bunch of different guys, and she was purposely doing it this way, killing guys by having sex with them because they were having heart attacks. So, of course, you have to show them having sex because that's what the movie's about. And they didn't do it grossly or anything. That's the one with Madonna and Willem Dafoe. Right now, I can't think of the name of it right at the second, but it's a really good movie. And that thing's loaded with sex.
And I think being mainly involved in the horror community, that is a big part of it. But a lot of people do go overboard and have it not make any sense. And
I mean, if it has to do with what's going on in the film, okay, like Psycho. she's taking a shower, and then the guy comes in and stabs her. Okay, well, mm-hmm. she has to be naked because she's in the shower. So, okay, that's okay. But if you just have somebody walking around naked for no reason, yeah. and I see that so much, I'm like, oh, please. Or the worst thing, not the worst thing, but one of the worst things that they can do is have the women be completely naked, but the men are completely clothed.
Yeah.
And two reasons why that's bad. One is because it doesn't give women and gay guys anything to look at. That's number mm-hmm. one. Number two, it doesn't make any sense because if they're having sex, then he shouldn't have any clothes on either.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, his pants should be off. And I saw that in a, what's his name? Vin Diesel. In one of the Pitch Black movies, I think it was the last one, he was in bed with three women. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that. You know, so he's in bed with three women. They're all naked. I mean, it makes sense. They're having sex, so they're all naked. But then he gets out of bed, and he's completely clothed. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with how the ratings work, but I know if you go too far, especially with men, it seems to be a little biased on that side. But if you go too far with the men, you get kind of a higher rating, which could kind of mess with other aspects that you're hoping for your film.
Oh, yeah, I understand how all that works. I'm just saying it makes no sense if the guy's completely closed. Like
yeah.
I said, at the very least, have him in his underwear.
Yeah.
But no, he was completely clothed. A t-shirt, but he had his pants on. That makes no sense. If he would have mm-hmm. had his t-shirt and underwear on, I would have been on board with that as far as the sensors and stuff. But
yeah.
No, being completely clothed, it was stupid.
Yep, I agree.
Well, anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that.
It's all good.
I hope you don't mind. I feel bad now taking away your time.
Nope, not at all.
Now, there's another film that you did, and this one was on your list. In post-production, you acted in it. You were executive producer. Bridge of the Doomed. So what can you tell
Bridge
us about
of the,
that one?
Yeah, Bridge of the Doomed is a zombie movie. It was filmed out in Las Vegas by the Mahal brothers. I'm sure you've heard of them. They're doing a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
One of the probably about four films with the Mahal brothers I've gotten involved with. I was able to make it out to Vegas to actually be in the small scene, just a little small scene shot in the woods, but. Yeah, it should be. I don't know where they're at in post production right now on that, but this should be a pretty good one.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I like. I like zombie movies, and I like.
Yeah, zombie movies do kind of get. I don't know, like where it kind of overwhelming because they're kind of easier to do. So everybody just wants to throw a bunch of zombies in a movie, but this one has. Little more to it than the typical just a bunch of zombies running after you.
Well, that's good, too. That's the kind of thing that I like is when there's, you want the zombies in there, but you want it to be at least something a little bit different. I mean, and it's nothing new to have zombies moving fast. And so some of these people, I'm like, I don't know where they got that from because I saw that in a silent movie where there were zombies and they were moving fast. And in the same silent movie, the zombies were talking. So talking zombies are nothing new either. Ones that actually have some of their brains left or whatever so they could talk. But the reason why I liked The Walking Dead, now I don't know if you've watched it, but when it first started, what drew me to it Of course, the zombies, because I like zombies. But mm-hmm. it was the acting and getting you interested in the characters, because you were really feeling for these characters that were in this TV show. And then you get to the zombies and the killing and all of that stuff. And, of course, it's pretty brutal on that show. But that's what I like about it, the drama part. So
I'm obviously a big horror fan, but honestly, I've never really gotten into it. The Walking Dead. I do have it on my little Netflix list to watch them, but it's just not, I don't know, I don't really have a reason. I just never really got into it. But one of these days I'll watch them all and get through it, but yeah. People always find that surprising when they're like, oh, horror, Walking Dead. I'm like, oh, I've never seen it. They're like, what?
Well, it's, you know, one of those things, like there are occasionally are movies that I haven't seen, and mm-hmm. people are usually surprised when they come up with a movie that I haven't seen, because I'm a movie reviewer, ergo I've seen lots and lots of films. And so they're usually surprised when I haven't seen one that's, you know, pretty popular. Like, okay, well, you know, if nobody contracted me for it and I didn't have any way to get it or something, well, then I'm not going to be able to watch it. Or maybe I just didn't feel like watching that type of movie right at that time. Who knows? Like what you said, said. Who knows? But as far as The Walking Dead, one of the scenes in there, if you ever do start to watch it, it's in the first season, and it's not going to ruin it for me to tell you. But the acting was just so great. And Andrew Lincoln, who I had never seen him in anything before, and I never knew that he was English. Like for the whole first season, I never knew that. Then I saw him in some behind-the-scenes stuff, and he was talking with his real voice, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't. So that just shows how good he was at doing his accent. But there's one part in there where he's looking out a keyhole at this woman that's out there milling around, a zombie woman, and she's milling around, and then they're talking about how they don't think that they have learned how to work doorknobs, and she comes up to work the doorknob. And if you watch that particular part, his eye moves down, well, his eyes, but you only see one because it's from the side. And his eyes mm-hmm. go down to look at the doorknob as it's turning. And they did that so good that it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. They just did that so well. Just that one tiny little scene. So little scenes like that can really get you interested in watching something.
Yep.
So that's one of the things I was talking about when I said sometimes those little scenes and sometimes the acting can be so great that those little scenes can just, like, make the whole movie.
Yep.
But going back to your films, you were executive producer. This one's in post-production. Bloodthirst. So tell us about that one.
Bloodthirst is a vampire film. Same Mahal Brothers producers on that. It's got Tara Reid, several people in it. That's another one I was supposed to, that's just another one of my stories. I was supposed to go, but got held up because of COVID. So I was supposed to be acting with Tara Reid on one of her scenes. But it's got Robert Lestardo in it. Several people in that, so that should be a another good film when it finally comes out. And I think the Mahal Brothers just posted that they just got their first cut of it, so it's moving quite along quite well. So should be sometime early next year when it comes out, I'm thinking.
Oh, well, that'll be good.
And sad thing about that one is this was the first movie that I was going to be a vampire in, and I've been waiting for that, and then just fell through.
Aww.
That's probably my, like you say, you like zombies, like vampires. I love vampires. All vampire movies, I just love them. And I keep getting in all these involved with all these movies, it just never happened. And I finally got one, and it didn't happen. But there'll be another one, so fine.
Yeah. There's always another one around the corner.
Yeah.
Especially with the indie filmmaking business. You can always count on getting another one somewhere from somebody.
Yep.
Now, I believe you're still acting, or, you know, whatever it is, however you're doing it, Attack of the Unknown. Is there anything you can talk about that one?
Another Mahal Brothers. It just came out, I want to say, a month ago, or it's maybe 2 months ago now. I had a pretty good scene in that one as well. This was shot, again, over in Vegas. This was before I came to D.C. again and before the whole COVID situation happened. So I was able to make it out there for that. That was another fun set. My scenes got kind of cut a little bit, which was a little bit disappointing, but it, for whatever, for the movie, makes it better, I guess. But it was another one. It had Tara Reid, and I actually played Tara Reid's husband, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard to see. When the scenes they cut, you kind of can't tell that anymore. But that was the intent of that situation. And I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's on Amazon as well, so you can actually go rent that right now.
Oh, wow, cool. I'm going to have to check that one out. And right there is something that you can say with your resume, that you were Tara Reid's husband.
Yeah.
Well, and people will remember you too, because they'll be watching this movie and they'll go, hey, I like that guy, and I want to see him in something else. Hey, and then in the next movie they see you in, hey, that was the guy that played Tara Reid's husband. And then sooner or later they learn your name.
Yeah.
Well, it does actually happen that way, because when you see people, especially if they're in the smaller parts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there are well-known people that do smaller parts too, so it's not like, mm-hmm. you know, just people that are unknown play in small parts. But when people don't know them, it's like, okay, they see them in this part and they don't really know who they are, but they think, wow, they're a really, really good actor. And then they see them in something else, and then they're like, hey, wait a minute, I saw them in whatever it was, you know, playing Tara Reid's husband. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch for more of his movies. And then that's when people start looking into the credits, because they want to find out who these people are that they like. Because a lot mm-hmm. of people don't even look at the credits until something like that happens. Because I know a lot of people don't. It's probably because I'm a movie reviewer, but I've actually always been this way, even before I reviewed movies. I've always watched the credits, all of the credits.
Yeah, honestly, before I got involved in the film process, I really never looked at the credits, but now I look at them because I see so many people I know, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what it was for me, that even though I wasn't in the film business myself, I mean, I did some acting, but mostly in the theater, and there's some stuff that's some embarrassing stuff that's on tape that I did, but embarrassing because it was bad, but you know what I mean. But my family members, a few of my family members, they've been in the business like almost their entire lives, and so I like see the business vicariously through them. And mm-hmm. so that's how I started doing that. When I was very, very young, I was looking at the credits. I'm like, oh, there's my uncle. Oh, there's my uncle. Oh, there's my cousin. And I just kept doing that all through these movies, even when I was 5 and 6 years old, because I would recognize family members. So, yeah, it's pretty cool when you know people, like you said.
Yeah, that's a cool thing about going to the premieres, because you're the premiere and everybody watches this movie and then gets the credits, and soon as somebody's name comes up, you know, everybody yells and cheers. It's a whole different experience. I was not used to that. Krepitus was the first film I ever went to a premiere for. So I didn't really know anybody during that one. But just seeing how that played out and people cheered, whoever. And actually, I got to sit like right in front of Bill Moseley. So hearing him behind me during the movie laugh at certain scenes, and it was just a whole surreal experience for me.
And especially if he was laughing at your scenes.
Well, I wasn't in that one. He was just laughing at some of the scenes he was in, which he's probably got to get the kick out of that all the time, because he's in, I don't know how many movies now, but he's quite busy all the time as well. So I'm sure he watches something and he's like, oh yeah, I remember when this happened.
Yeah, the kind of thing that I meant was that when somebody is watching something and they make a comment about somebody else, like say if he had seen you and he thought your thing was funny and he said, oh, that guy's funny. And then you hear them saying that, and because I have friends in the business that have said that they were at these premieres and there were like big name stars behind them talking about, oh, wow, she's a really good actress. And, you know, it was some big name actress like Nicole Kidman or something that was saying how good of an actress she was. So, yeah, I mean, that's got to be a real ego booster.
Yeah.
Now, there's one that I wanted to ask about. It's not on your list because I think we actually got through all of the ones that was on your list. I picked this one purely because of the title, Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're familiar with Troma.
Yes.
Well, basically, when I first started this film stuff, I kind of made a list of, oh, here's all my goals I want to accomplish. And most of it was kind of just like stuff that'll never happen. Like, oh, I'll make top 10 and blah, 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 whatever. And one of the items on that list was to appear in a trauma film. So I didn't really know much about how anything worked. So I was like, well, let me see if I could do this. So I sent Troma an email saying, hey, love your films if you ever need somebody. And like the next day, I got an email back from them. They're like, hey, we're filming this film in New York, Shakespeare Shitstorm, on this day. If you want to come and be a VIP party animal, you're more than welcome. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Like, whoever thought, just send an email to them and you're going to be on a Troma. So right after the scenes finished with Clownado, I got in my car, and that was in Kansas City. I got in my car and drove all the way to New York that night to be on that set. And that was, you know, the trauma films are crazy. Being on set was like very, very different experience. And I don't think that one did come out. I have not been able to see yet, so I don't even know if you see me in it. I'm just kind of in the background, just one of the people partying, having a good time. But that's still on my list to see. I haven't been able to see it yet.
Well, I'm going to have to look for that one now. Another one, because I've got like 20 or 30 films that I'm going to have to see from my guests.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you about some of these. I can even lump them together because they're basically like the same type of thing, although you may not want them lumped together. But there's one, Myers, the Evil of Haddonfield, Myers, the Monster of Haddonfield, and then there's another one, Myers, the Curse of Haddonfield, all short films that you were associate producer. Now, did you have anything to do with those? I mean, I can guess what they're about.
Yeah, they're all just fan films, obviously about Halloween franchise. I didn't have anything other to deal with it other than just help out with some the financial side of it. But you can go on. They were available. I'm assuming they still are. You can go on YouTube and see all those.
Oh, cool.
That's assuming
yeah,
they didn't
the
take them down.
Yeah, the shorts are easier for me to watch, simply, you know, time-wise. It's like I get so many films, and some people send them to me, and, you know, I don't get me wrong, I appreciate that. I love people sending me films. Some actually send me the DVDs. Some send me streaming things to watch. It just depends on the person, I guess. But I get so many of them, like right now I've still got a stack that I haven't even gone through.
I found myself doing that. Like, I've been involved in all these films now, so I get all the DVDs afterwards, and they all go to my house in Florida, so I don't get them until I go home for a weekend or whatever. So I finally just got some from Florida. I watched three the other day, and I was like, oh, I can finally watch these after all this time.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'll get to these movies because sometimes that's all I do is, like, I'll watch 2-3 movies at a time, just depending. Like, if I'm supposed to do a review for it, obviously that one is on the top of the stack, and the ones that I'm not going to do one for would be on the bottom. But yeah, I mean, I've told people, don't expect these reviews from me to come all that quickly. But it doesn't take me that long. It sounds bad because I say a stack, but it really doesn't take me that long. Once I get to them, and then I just start watching them, and then I write my review, and then I move on to the next one. So just, you know, whenever you have a film and you want me to review it, like on IMDb or something, I mean, excuse me. I mean, I do get contracted, but that wouldn't be a contract. I would just be doing it just, you know, to help you out, hopefully to help you out. And because I do a lot of that. Yeah, people will ask me people will ask me to review their films on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, different places like that. And, of course, I would have to watch the film first, obviously, because I won't write a review if I haven't seen a film. There are reviewers that do that, but I'm not one of them. And I also will watch the entire film.
Yeah.
Because even though I'm not getting paid, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just saying that's good because I've definitely seen some reviewers will absolutely trash a film and never even spend 2 seconds watching it, which I think is absolutely insane.
Well, yeah, and if you see the movie before you read their review, you can tell that they haven't seen them. And at the best, they've fast-forwarded through them. Because I've reviewed movies that I read somebody else's review that said, oh, this didn't make any sense. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That didn't make any sense. They spent 10 minutes explaining that. If you watched the movie, you would have seen it.
I try not to judge any movies I'm about to see on a review because I like to make my own decision on it. But, yeah, some people, I've seen it, like they'll – especially on IMDb, I gave this a 1 because somebody else gave it a 10, and I know that's not true. And it's like, what did you think of the movie? I don't get why people do that.
Well, yeah, I don't get it either, and especially being a reviewer, semi-professional reviewer. But the thing that really burns me are the professionals that do that. The one big-name reviewers do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell by reading their reviews that they didn't see the film. I can tell by reading their reviews. And they make big money, big money. I don't make big money. When I get contracted, I mean, I may make a little bit of money. Most of the time I just get like a swag bag or something, which is fine because I love watching movies. And just to know that somebody wants me to review their film. But I'm not harsh because, like I've told a few other people that have been on my show, just the effort of making a film gets you an automatic 1 star.
Yeah.
And on IMDb, because their star system works different than mine, I use a 5-star system, and then I use partial stars, you know, quarter stars, quarter and half and three-quarter stars. But on IMDb, they use a 10-star system, so on IMDb, just the effort would get you 2 stars.
Yeah.
So there's no way you're ever going to get a 1-star on IMDb from me, because I give 2 just for the effort of making a movie. And then everything that's good about it, and it doesn't have to be great, just everything that's good about it, it adds on to it. And I've given plenty of extremely low-budget movies. I've given them 7, 8 stars, and then some really high-budget, really popular, famous movies, I've given lower stars because they just weren't that good. And I'm not even talking about my opinion. I'm talking about things that are in the movie, like the directing, the cinematography, the acting. I look at all of that. I can watch the film and not really like the movie as a whole, but I can appreciate all the elements that went into it. And so even though I didn't like the film as a whole, it can still have a high rating from me. And you don't see other reviewers doing that. They just, most reviewers, it's all just their opinion of whether they like the movie or not, which to me is not helpful at all. Because maybe what you like is different than what I like. And that's another thing. If I mention something that I don't like, which I usually only do if somebody asks me to, when they contract me, they say, make sure that you say what you didn't like about it. And I'll mention the things that I don't like, but then I temper that with saying, but hey, just because I didn't like it, that's my opinion, somebody else may like this and really like it, and they'll love the movie just because it's got that in it.
That's what I don't understand about some reviewers. They'll say, I don't like zombie movies, but I watched this one and I hated it. Well, yeah, you don't like zombie movies, so why are you why are you hating on this one? What makes them like, oh, I'm going to watch this one and then I'm going to give it 1 star and trash it because I don't like zombie movies? Like, I don't understand where that comes from.
Well, you know, a lot of what it is that people just like to bring people down. That's their goal in life, is to bring other people down and to bring the ratings down on IMDb. That's one reason why they do the 1 star, because if they see people giving it 9, 10 stars, then they start giving it 1 to bring the total rating down. Now, I mean, I don't really see the point of it other than just to try to bring people down to be nasty. And there are a lot of those people, a lot. And I never do that. I mean, I'm only going to tell you this because you told me about the zombie thing. I don't particularly like war movies as a general rule. There are some that I like. Most of the ones that I really like are Humphrey Bogart movies, war movies.
Yeah.
And really it's only because they're not really war movies. They're just movies that are had centered in war time. They weren't really war movies per se. But this friend of mine wanted me to review his movie, and it was a war movie. And I said, I've got no problems doing that. I said, but I've told you before, I don't like war movies, so I might not like it. So be prepared, because as you know, I don't say I like a movie that I don't like. I don't care who you are. You can be my uncle. You can be my best friend. And if I don't like your film, I'm not going to tell you that I like it. I'm not going to trash it, but I'm not going to tell you I like it. And he said, no, that's okay. I really want to know what you think. So I watched it, and it was okay. You know, everything was good about it. The acting was good. The directing was good. Cinematography. everything about it was good. But I just don't like the idea of a war movie. And so I just couldn't see myself giving it more than 3.5 stars on my 5-star mm-hmm. system. So I told him that, and then I told him what it translates to on IMDb, and then I also did one on IMDb for him. And I said, on IMDb, it depends. Anywhere from 7 to 8 stars is what you would get on IMDb. And he was like, wow, mm-hmm. because there were so many people that were given his movie between 1 and 3 stars because they were saying how bad it was. It wasn't a bad film. It wasn't really a good film per se, but it was a good effort. I mean, everybody did well. There was nothing in it that was like, oh man, that's terrible, that's stupid. There was nothing like that in the film. And so I was okay with it. I just don't like war films.
Yeah.
But like that person with the zombie film, I didn't give it a 1 just because I don't like war films, because I made sure I told my friend, there are people that love war films, and they'll probably love this film, which I don't see why they wouldn't. And my brother was one of them, because my brother loves war films. He'll watch war films more than anything else, and he loved the film. And so hopefully my friend doesn't hear this, but I gave him my copy of the film. And even if he hears it, it's actually okay, because I had two copies. One was with my friend's autograph on it, and the other one was an unautographed version. And I gave my brother the unautographed version. So, but it does sound bad. Yeah, I gave your movie to my brother. Oh, you know, it's been really nice chatting with you. I mean, I hope you didn't mind me talking some. Some people get put off by that. Oh, thank you. That's sweet. Because some people get put off by that. I mean, I usually go by how the person reacts. And you were reacting like you were okay with it. I've had some people on the show where I don't talk that much because they don't seem to want me to talk. But then I've also had some people on the show where they didn't seem to want me to talk, but then they didn't really want to talk either. So then, of course, I have to talk because it's a radio show. So we're not on TV, so we have nothing to look at here. So somebody has to talk. Well, I had put us down for 1.5 hours, and we don't have to go over every single little movie you've ever done, but if there's some other movie that we didn't go over today that you want to talk about that you can think of, we can do that. Is there anything that you can think of you want to?
The top of my head, I can't really think of one. Not off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Oh, well, that's okay. Let me see if I can find one that we didn't go over. What about The Barn Part 2? That's a zombie movie. I only know that because it says that you play an inmate zombie.
Yeah, so The Barn Part 1, if you've never seen that, you should definitely put that on your list, because that's like a, I don't know, I want to say cult classic, but I think sometimes that's kind of overused anymore. But it's very well put together film. So this is The Barn Part 2, and I got to be a associate producer and as well as act in it. And same director and writer as The Barn Part 1, and I got to be in it. It's got the I'm gonna forget his name here. Got the guy that played the original Jason in like the very first movie.
Oh,
you know his name off the top of your head?
However it's pronounced, Ari Lehman.
Yes. So he was in it as well as also Lene. Jesus. forget all these names now that I'm talking about it. But yeah, so two very well-known horror community actor or actress in this movie, and I got to be in that. And that's one of the another movie. It was shot not too far from Washington D.C., so I got to do it while I was here. And that was another one when I came back on post. I was covered in mess and the. I've done this like 3 or 4 times now. The guard's always like, man, why is this guy always coming with blood all over him? But yeah, that was another fun set. It was, we went and did, my scene was just one day. But yeah, I don't think that's complete yet. But yeah, if you could find some time and watch The Barn Part 1, it's several years old now. But it's definitely a fun film to watch.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that I hadn't had a chance to get a hold of it. So, I mean, I'll eventually watch it.
Yeah.
And I'll eventually watch part two as well.
Yeah, and I want to say part one is on Prime still. That's assuming you have Prime, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, but sometimes I can watch stuff that's on Prime, like say if I go over to my sister's because she
okay.
has Prime, and sometimes she'll bring up stuff on Prime for us to watch for family get-togethers. But usually for the family get-togethers, I bring the films because I have, you know, like I say, I get all these films from people, so I have stacks of films. And so if there's a family get-together, I take one of those films over there. But, of course, before I take them over there, depending on what family members are going to be there, I watch them first. Some family members I don't have to worry about doing that with, but there are some that are they're holy rollers and they're persnickety. And so, if they see even a little bit of skin, they have a cow. they can see all the violence and things blowing up and people blowing up, but if they see a naked person, Now, somebody's priorities are really skewed there. I mean, I'd want to see somebody naked before I'd want to see somebody get blown up.
Yeah.
So I just have to be careful about who's going to be there. But if it's going to be the quote-unquote normal family, then I don't need to watch it first. And I just take it over there. And most of the films, some of them have been okay, but mostly it's like, wow, that was really nice. And your friends made that? And I'm like, yeah, my friends made that. Oh, well, they did a good job. And then we talk about it. And then I tell my friends what my family says about their movies. So if I ever get a chance to take one of your movies and have it at the family get together, I'll let you know what they think.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, well, we got like 10 minutes, but we don't have to go the entire 10 minutes because I actually only put it to an hour and a half because I wasn't sure how long you were going to talk about each thing. And then also Blog Talk Radio has this thing where if you can only go like 2 minutes over the time, and if you go over that, then they cut you off, even if you're in the middle of a sentence. And so I thought, well, there were so many. Yeah. And I thought there were so many movies that you had given me on that little list of yours. I thought, well, you know, because that was 15 movies. And I thought, well, I want to make sure he has enough time. And I don't want him to get cut off in the middle of a sentence. And that's why I put it at an hour and a half. So we don't have to go the whole hour and a half. What I will do now, if there's nothing in particular that you want to talk about that you can think of, because you just said no, that you couldn't think of anything in particular, to do what I usually ask people to do at the end of the show, which is to let them know the best way to get in contact with you?
Okay. Well, IMDb, of course, I actually have my, it's not my phone number, but it's a phone number that will come to me. And plus my email is on there as well. So my IMDb is pretty open when it comes to getting in contact with me directly.
Interesting. Okay, now is there anything that you want to say, like in closing? It doesn't have to be about films. It could just be about anything in general. Not politics or religion, but other than that, if there's anything that you want to say in closing, feel free to do so.
All right. I just wanted to say thank you to you. Like I said before, this was my first podcast, and I've enjoyed it, so that's good. But working on a lot of things, so hope maybe someday down the line we can have another one of these, and I can have another list for you.
Aw, well, yeah, I hope so, too. I like people that come back. I mean, so far, because I've only been doing this since June, so I haven't had somebody come back for a second show yet, but I do have some scheduled because there's four people now that I have scheduled that are actually return guests. So, yeah, that'll be nice if you can. And I appreciate you being on the show, and I wish you much success, and I hope that things start working out a little bit more where you get to do stuff that you're not being able to do right now.
Even if you
have to do it remotely. So at least that would be something for you. Okay, so unless you have something else to say, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And stay safe and have a good night. And thank you very much for being on the show. Goodbye.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye.